Freilich and Purim, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Mem Tes, and we are in the middle of the Amid on daf Mem Tes, Amid Aleph. So yesterday we learned the Festa daf, the Sugya of Toyu of Vizavin Zvini Zvini. We'll get into that a little bit after we finish today's daf. But for now, the Gemara is continuing to discuss the Mishnah that discussed different exceptions to the rule, where one cannot be machzik, one cannot create a cheskas gimel shanim in somebody else's property. So we discussed the umin, the shutif, the aris. The Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, v'loy le'ish chazaka b'nechse ishtoy, v'loy le'ish chazaka b'nechse bayit. Says the Gemara, a man cannot be machzik b'nichse ishtoy. Pshita, that's obvious. Keep it the isle peira. Being that the husband is entitled to eat the peiros of his wife's field, peira hu dekaachel. He's eating his own peiros. So what's the question? He can't be machzik. The whole concept of a chazaka is that Reuven's eating the peiros in Shimon's field. He does so for 3 years. Shimon had ample opportunity to be ma'ar, to be moicha, he wasn't. It happened for a 3 year period. By doing that, Reuven establishes a chazaka, and even if he can't have a raya, he doesn't have edim, there's no shtar to prove that the field belongs to him, still in court, in Toyim V'nitin, he would be the one that would be able to get the field. But it's all predicated on the fact that you were eating somebody else's peiros, that person was a ma'ar. But to the extent that you had a right to eat the peiros, because they were your peiros, then naturally the halacha is going to be that you wouldn't be able to be machzik. Because what kind of protest was the person supposed to make? What you were doing was right. It was legally yours. Now the Rashbam explains that we know from learning Masechtas Ksubas that there are two types of nechsei ishtoy that a woman can bring into a marriage. One is known as nechsei tzorim barzel. The other one is known as nechsei milug. Nechsei tzorim barzel is when a woman has a nadin of some sort, she gets married, she has money that she brings into the marriage. The arrangement between the husband and the wife is that the husband is going to now get that which the woman brought into the marriage. However, at the same time, he's going to obligate himself that whenever his wife is entitled to her ksuba, such as if he divorces her or if he dies, he's going to reimburse her dollar for dollar what it was she brought in. So if she brought in $100,000 worth of assets, the husband gets the $100,000 assets when they get married. If 20 years later they get divorced or 20 years later he dies, whenever she collects her ksuba, in addition to the ksuba and the Tosfos ksuba that she's going to get, she's also going to get back $100,000. And that number is fixed. It doesn't matter if the assets go up in value, if they go down in value. It's set based on what the price of the assets were at the time of the marriage. That's nechsei tzorim barzel. The other form of nechasim that a woman can bring into a marriage is what we know as nechsei milug. Nechsei milug is a little different in the sense that when the woman brings it into the marriage, she retains the title. She remains the owner of those nechasim. However, the Baal, being that they're married, the Chachamim made a takana that he's going to be able to eat the peiros. So, for example, if it's a field that's oisa peiros, she's going to be the owner of the field. The husband is going to be able to eat the peiros. If it was a rental property, she's going to own the property. The husband's going to be entitled to the rental income. That's what the arrangement's going to be. The peiros will eventually become hers in the event that they get divorced. But the point is, in this case, she is the one that's considered to be the owner of the asset. So the Gemara understood that that's pashit, that when we say v'loy lish chazaka v'nichse yishta, we can't be talking about nechsei tzorim barzel. Because nechsei tzorim barzel belongs 100% to the husband. It's not even hers. It's not even nechsei yishta. It was nechsei yishta. And he has an obligation, an IOU, that at the time that she's entitled to collect her ksuba, he's going to have to give her back dollar for dollar what she brought in. But it's not nechsei yishta. The only time it's nechsei yishta is nechsei milug. But the Gemara's kash is that even nechsei milug, how could you establish a chazaka? By eating peiros, the husband has a right to eat peiros because the peiros belong to him. So again, Pshita, keep it this way. Lepera, pera de kachos. We're talking about the kas of law. The husband wrote to his wife, dinu dvarim engli binachsayich. We're talking about a very specific case where the husband gave his wife in writing. He was mesalik himself. he relinquished the rights that he has to eat the peres. So being that he now doesn't have the right to eat the peres, so when he eats the peres, he's not eating what's his. It could have been his, it should have been his, it would have been his. But he walked away from those rights. So being that he walked away from those rights, now it is in fact nichsa yishtoi. So kedai techamina, if he eats the peres for 3 years, he can create a chazaka. That's the Mishnah. V'loi v'ish chazaka b'nichsa yishtoi. But the Gemara says, v'chi kosav la'mahavi. No, it doesn't work. For time, you learned in a braiso. Im l'chaveiro, if two people are partners, and one partner tells the other, dinu dvarim in li al sadazu, I don't want to have anything to do with this field anymore. V'ein li esigba, v'yada misulak es mimena. All synonyms of each other. The point is, the person walks away from a field, lo'yamar klom, because you can't just walk away from something that's yours. If you own something and you don't want to own it anymore, so you have to gift it, you have to sell it, be machnid, but you can't just be misalik yourself. So if the husband owns the peres nechsemeluk, he couldn't just walk away from the peres nechsemeluk by writing on a piece of paper, I have nothing to do with it anymore. It's a little more complicated than that. So the Gemara, Amri lo devei Rabbi Yanai, so the yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they answered, Mastisim b'koyis av laba idarusa. The Mishnah is talking about where the husband didn't write it after they got married. He wrote it when they were only orus verusa, while they were engaged. The point is, he wrote it before he actually had the schus. And being that he didn't have the schus at the time that he wrote it, he was able to be masalikit. Because as much as it's true that once I own something, I can't walk away from it with a quote-unquote siluk, but before I own something, I can be masalik myself and prevent myself from ever owning it. And how do we know that? Kidrav Kahana. Dom Rav Kahana, Nachla Boli Lodim Makam Achar. If somebody is entitled to a Yerusha Mi Makam Achar, and the Rashbam says, a Yerusha de Rabbanon, this doesn't work by Deiraisis. This only works by the Rabbanon. Oda Masna Lesh Lo Yerushan. So if there's a person that theoretically is entitled to a Yerusha Mi Rabbanon, he can be masalik himself and say, I don't want this Din de Rabbanon. This chus that the Rabbanon gave me, I'd rather not get it. Uki the Rava, and that itself is based on something. Rava once said, "Amar Rava, chaloi me'efshim b'takonas chachamim can go inside shaymim loy." Rava said that if somebody says he'efshim b'takonas chachamim, such as a specific example, Michael going zoyis, what was his example? The chachamim said that a woman gets supported by her husband. It's machlokes in the Gemara, midi raisa, midi rabbanon. Rav held that it was only midi rabbanon, and l'umazeh, the rabbanon obligated a woman to give her husband her maisi adayim. But to the extent that this woman earns a lot of money, she could always say, "Efshi betakonas chachamim, I'm not interested." The bottom line is that if the rabbanon were mezakeh you with certain schusei mamon, you have a right before you actually got it to say that I don't want to get it. It works for Yerusha de Rabbanon. It works for a woman who doesn't want to be supported by her husband. Says, you keep yours, I'll keep mine. Let's do our own thing. And it's in that vein that our Gemara is discussing that a husband can be mesalik himself from Peres Nechsemelug. Because it's true, a husband's entitled to Peres Nechsemelug. He's only entitled to it midi Rabbanon. So that before he gets it, if the husband would say, I don't want those Peres Nechsemelug that the rabbis entitled me to get, it's something that he would have a right to do.
Who would tell the wife that this guy's on the land? If somebody passes by and sees him, not going to come and say, go make a machol.
That's the pshat in the Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah says, v'loy l'ish chazokim v'nechsa yishtoi. Exactly. You hit it on the head. The question is that what was the havamino? A chazok is... Exactly. Freik de Gemara, no chakasha. Harayo yesh. So the Mishnah said, a man cannot be machzik v'nechsa yishtoi. It sounds like, let's say we have a shtar. A shtar that says that his wife sold the peres nechsemelug to him. Or Edom stepped forward and Edom said that we witnessed this mechira take place. There's no question in the world, yesh, that would work. Because you're telling me a cheskes raya doesn't work, but a regular, good, authentic, fleshiger raya, that for sure would work. Fake the Gemara, it shouldn't work. Why can't the woman always say that really I had no intention of ever selling this field to my husband? I didn't want to sell it. I went to a closing, I hired lawyers, there were documents, we even drank l'chaim. It's because my husband wanted it, and I felt that if I would refuse my husband, then we would start fighting, and I wasn't interested in dealing with that. So I went along with it. But really, you want to know if I had gemiras das to sell it? I didn't have gemiras das to sell. And the Gemara says, if you want to know that whether or not that's a good taina, this precedence. Didn't we learn in a Mishnah? If somebody bought a field that was nechsemelug, so he went to the husband and he bought the husband's chelik, and then he went to the wife and he bought the wife's chelik. Why would you have to go to the husband and the wife? Because we just explained. Every nechsemelug, there's shutfin, so to speak. The wife owns the guf, She owns the underlying asset. The husband is entitled to the income that the asset generates. So the halacha is, if somebody would want to buy nechs and milug, you would have to have two independent transactions. You have to go to the husband, and then you have to go to the wife. Al kopanim, the Mishnah says that if somebody goes to the husband and he goes to the wife, the halacha is the mekach is batel. Alma, what's the reason? Because she could always say, nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. I heard my husband sold his chelik. This is obviously a deal that he's interested in doing. I'm grada not interested, but I wasn't interested in starting on my wife. So hachanami, neitem and nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. Sachti gemara, itman Allah, amar that Mishnah that says that a woman who sells her nechsa malug, the mechir is not chal, is talking about a very specific type of nechsa malug. Or very specific fields. It's talking either about a field that the husband had been miyached, dedicated, as going to be specific for her ksuba, the achashe yichal la biksubasa, or not kasav la biksubasa, but yichal la biksubasa. Same thing. The difference just is it wasn't written. The first one was kasav la. The second one, you didn't get in writing, but there were eidim. The achas shechnisel la shum mishalah. Or the third case would be something that she brought in together with her marriage. But the point is that Mishnah that says nachas ruach hasisi labayli, and the mecher is not a good mecher, is talking about three types of specific fields. It's only over there where we say that if the woman agreed to sell it, she didn't really mean to sell it. Because those fields were very much something that she was attached to. In the first two cases, they were meyuchet for the ksuba, so she didn't want to give that away. So if she sold those fields, it's in that case that we say nachas ruach hasisi labayli, and we invalidate the mecher. But it could be that a regular field, not, and the Gemara just fears us, says the Gemara, lemute mai. When we say that it meant those three fields, what do we mean to exclude? Ilay lemute shayin nechassin, do we mean to exclude regular nechassin? Koshkin the havelo eva. There's no way in the world. There, for sure, there would be Eva. You're not even comfortable with me selling things that I wasn't miyachet for the ksubas. It seems like she's really paranoid that she's going to get the... She's really thinking about what's going to happen. It must be coming to be memayet nechsa melug. That by nechsa melug, you don't say nachas ruach hasisi lebayla. So again, the kasha was that we're saying halacha v'loy l'ish chazaka b'nechsa yishtai, which sounds like a man just can't be machzik b'nechsa yishtai. But if he had some other form of raya, such as a shtar, such as Edom, that say that his wife sold to him her peiros nechsa melug, in a case where he had previously been misalik himself, that lachas would be able to keep it. The kasha say nachas ruach hasisi lebayli, and there seems to be precedence for nachas ruach hasisi lebayli. The precedence is a mishnah. If somebody bought from the man, then he bought from the woman, the lach is mekach batel. We invalidate the mekach because we assume that the woman really didn't mean to sell it. She just sold it because she wasn't interested in starting up with his wife. Says the Gemara, that's talking about specific case. It's not talking about nechsa melug. It's talking about either gimel sadois, but the point is, it's not talking about nechsa melug. It could be by nechsa melug, you don't say nachas ruach hasisi lebayli. And the reason is because the nechsa melug really belongs to her. I mean, that it really belongs to her, she wouldn't just sell it to make her husband happy. If she sold it, it must be it was a real mechira. You find there's a concept of nachas ruach hasisi lebayli. Lemute nechsa melug. It doesn't mean nechsa melug. We're talking about specific types of mecher. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said it. But the point is, as it relates to Nechsa Melug, there is no svara of Nachas Ruach Hasisi Labayli. If there's no svara, Arm Sugya is discussing Nechsa Melug. By Nechsa Melug, Chazok is not a raya. Why not? Like David spoke out, because who would ever think to tell her, why would she ever think to be Meicha? She's not Makbid, she's not that crazy, but she's going to start yelling and screaming at her husband, because her husband is being Machzik in the field. So you don't have the building blocks that you need to establish chazaka. Since for that reason, chazaka doesn't work, but it's a good deal. If she would, if the husband would have eidim, or if it'd be a shtar, then of course the mecha would be a good mecha. Maybe she didn't really mean it. By nechsa milog, you don't say that. The Mishnah is talking about oisim gimel.